Every day is a learning day on 98.4 Capital FM. That's why you join us. And today is Women Crush Wednesday. Yay for us! Where we speak to a female who is leading in her industry. And today is no exception. Dr. Laura Chebet-Kirui, a consultant hermatologist at Aga Khan University Hospital. Okay, Dr. Kirui, before we grill you as our Women Crush Wednesday, Fareed, you and I don't even know our blood type, bro. So let's do a little game before we speak to the doctor, who has studied for more years than we've been alive, I think. Let's talk about hematology. Let's play a game where we just say words that we know around this area of around this topic. Are you in?
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Okay, so blood. I'm going to go easy. Blood.
Anemia.
Oh, bro, stop showing off. Okay, scab.
Leukemia.
Deep vein thrombosis.
Lymphoma.
You 100% don't know what a lymphoma is.
No, I don't.
Bro, you can't Google it.
I'm just guessing.
He's cheating. Doctor, can you come in? It's Woman Crush Wednesday. You have to help me out. Tell him you can't Google these things.
Oh, good morning. Thank good you so morning. Much for having me here.
Of course. Thank you for joining. So, can I call you Laura?
Yes, of course.
Thank you, Laura. Now, we started this conversation by saying, like, how basic is it that we don't even know our blood type? Is that terrible?
You know, a lot of people don't. You'd be surprised that it's actually quite common, and a lot of people don't even know what hematologists do.
Actually, I think you're right, because most people that I ask, what's your blood type? And I'll give you an example. My mom recently passed away. She's been in and out of hospital with cancer for 3 years up until March. And when we took her back to the hospital in early March, even she, after all these visits to the hospital, mm-hmm. could not recollect her blood type.
Yes.
So, I mean, we had to go through the medical records. So it's quite common, I guess.
It is. Yeah. It is common that people wouldn't know what their blood type is. Yes.
Why is it important to know?
So unless you're actually going to require a blood transfusion, it's not critical that you know. And when you come to the hospital, that can be tested. And that so we are able to find that out.
We are, of course, talking about Aga Khan University Hospital, where you are a consultant hematologist. But why hematology, you weirdo? like blood for me, all of like, first of all, injections.
Did you watch a lot of vampire movies when you were growing up?
No, she grew up on Grey's Anatomy. Look at her, she's young and fresh. You did, didn't you?
You see, now I can't say yes.
You did. You're looking for Mr. McDreamy.
Aren't we all?
No, bro.
Blood is fascinating. You know, that sounds like a strange thing to say, but it is fascinating. And it's a very exciting and diverse kind of specialty. So we do the whole spectrum of blood disorders. So you mentioned some of the things that we do come across. There are things that people will be familiar with, like anemia, sickle cell. Those are all sort of general hematology. And then there's the cancer-related conditions that you mentioned, like lymphoma, leukemia. We treat all of those.
Ooh,
as well.
Oh, we did well on our
you
test.
You did. You did really well. I'm so impressed.
I did.
Do we have a sticker? You Googled. Did you bring us a lollipop or a sticker?
A star.
Oh, a star. Let me tell you, do you deal with little ones? Do kids get blood-related disorders?
So they do.
Okay.
But I'm an adult doctor, right. Because okay. I don't think that I could handle.
So what would be the most common? I mean, obviously you see all types, but what would be the most common sort of blood disorder or blood issue that people have that maybe they wouldn't even know about?
So the commonest things are the general things like anemia. That's one of the common presentations that we see. We also see a lot of people who have blood clotting issues. So things like deep vein thrombosis, that's when you have a clot in the deep veins, or a pulmonary embolus when you have a clot in the lungs. So all of this is part of the spectrum.
And are these potentially fatal, all of these?
So certainly a pulmonary embolus is potentially fatal if it's untreated.
So just unpack that for us. What is that?
So that is when you get a clot in one of the large veins within the lungs.
Okay.
Yeah, and that can affect your breathing. And if it's large enough, it can cause a collapse of the heart because of that.
Okay, you're freaking me out. Okay, so...
All right, we'll take a step.
Well, the thing is that, like, I don't want injections and tests and things. Are there external signs to blood clotting issues?
So, yes, there certainly are. So, for example, if you have a clot in one of the large veins within the leg, you might notice pain or swelling in the leg. Those are the initial things you might see. If you're getting a clot in the lungs, sometimes you might feel more breathless and fatigue. You might get palpitations. That's when you feel your heart racing.
So I have a clot in my lungs every time I go to the gym.
Yeah, I think that's just being out of shape. You spoke about anemia. Let's just backtrack a bit. That's quite common. I mean, that's something we hear a lot about. And that's something that we can actually avoid by doing certain things, right?
Yes, in some cases. There are many different causes. But the common thing is iron deficiency anemia.
Right.
And that can be commonly a dietary thing, or in women, it can be because of heavy menstrual losses.
Sure.
And so that's a common thing we
and
see.
And Davina, you asked, can we see anemia? I mean, it's, you know, can we see it physically on us that if we are anemic?
Sometimes you may be able to notice that someone looks paler than they should, or if you pull down your lower eyelid, that can look paler. It should look nice and red in color. So if it's pale, that might be a sign that you have anemia.
And any other physical symptoms exhaustion, tiredness?
Exhaustion, right, fatigue, headache. Those are all symptoms that you might experience.
Okay, too much blood for me. Let's take a little bit of a break and have some water, all right? If you don't mind. And get those star stickers out now, doctor.
We are discussing blood in studio, which is a great topic for breakfast. I hope you're enjoying your sausage and bacon this morning.
Gross.
Now, we are talking with Dr. Laura. Now, Doctor, blood is quite revealing, right? I mean, you find out more from about the human body than probably anything else when you draw someone's blood. Every time I go, like, I'll give an example. When my mum was in hospital, she needed a transfusion, so obviously we all, you know, stepped in to donate some blood. And then, you know, they have to run a series of tests before they can deliver that blood into the blood bank, right? Mm. I mean, I think it's a replacement method. It's not necessarily the blood that she got, but it's when you take a bag out, you got to kind of put a bag in, right?
Absolutely.
So you can tell a lot from blood, right?
You can. You can see a lot in people's blood tests. So, just to give you a bit of background, hematology is unique because we do the diagnostic work as well. So by that I mean we are both clinicians seeing patients, and we're also hematopathologists. So we are in the lab behind the scenes looking at blood samples and bone marrow samples. And so when you look at someone's blood tests, it tells you a lot. You know, you do from everything from the blood count that tells you the different types of cells and how much or how many there are of each type. And then you can look at it under the microscope and you can see specific disorders based on what you see under the microscope.
Right. And then that would lead you to diagnose. Someone could come in for just a routine blood test or blood donation and you would see something and immediately have to make a plan.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Stat. In fact, stat. No, but see, this is why she's our Woman Crush Wednesday. You're getting so excited by blood. What is it about blood that you love, and why did you choose hematology?
Well, it's just that. It is interesting. You know, it's unique in that way that there's no other specialty where you get to be both a clinician and a pathologist. And so you get to do that diagnostic work, and then you get to make diagnoses, and then you get to make the treatment plan with your patient. So it's very, you know, one-on-one at every step. It's what they call that bench to bedside career path.
That's cool.
She's a problem solver.
Bench to bedside. I like that. And do you ever get blood from like crime scenes?
Dude.
Oh, no, I'm just curious. I mean, I think that's a pretty solid question.
In my line of work, no.
But
there are people.
So what would that position be called?
So that
forensic?
Would be more forensic pathology.
Okay. And then another question. Sorry, I've got a million questions now.
Absolutely.
Sickle cell anemia. Mm-hmm. Now, that is obviously quite a, and recently I'm seeing a lot more information on social media pages and things about sickle cell. I think there's a World Sickle Cell Day was recently, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So what is sickle cell anemia?
So sickle cell is an inherited disorder. So all of us carry in our genes the genes that code for our hemoglobin. So hemoglobin is the oxygen-carrying component of your red cells. So people who have sickle cell have an abnormality in their hemoglobin. And we all get one gene from each parent. So you need both parents to have been affected for you to get sickle cell.
Isn't there a higher prevalence in Africans?
There is in certain in certain regions. Huh. So sickle cell is very much related to the epidemiology of malaria, because it has some protective effect in people who are sickle trait. So people who are carriers of sickle cell have some benefit in terms of resistance to malaria. So you see that those two patterns go hand in hand, you know, across that belt of the world. Yeah. Capital
FM. All right, we are back. Dr. Laura, you're back as well. Fareed, did he not do very well when he took his blood?
He absolutely refused.
He refused. Did he throw a little bit of a what we call in the biz a tantrum? He fainted, I think. No, but
actually, but to be honest, I've given blood in the last 6 months twice. One was a blood drive that a friend was organizing, and the other was for my mum. And both times I had so much anxiety about the needle.
Dude, it's
like I'm not a needle person. Like, I was at the dentist the other day, and you know the injections you get on this side, but I was getting them on the other side, you know, the inside of the mouth, the worst. And it's actually not the pain of the injection. It's the thought of it going into my skin at some point.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree that it is good to also donate blood when you can.
And well done for that. And people, please do donate.
Yeah.
We need it.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, my mom had to wait almost 48 hours for blood.
So tell us a little bit more about this. Is it a new clinic that Aga Khan University Hospital? Can they just stop doing progressive stuff? Like, I can't keep up. What have they done now, those crazies?
We have started a new dedicated clinic for people who have bleeding and clotting disorders. So it's called the Hemostasis and Thrombosis Clinic, and I run it every Thursday. So this is a clinic for people who have problems with recurrent blood clots, whether it's DVTs or clots in the lung, people who have issues with abnormal unexplained bleeding. We also see women who have had issues with recurrent miscarriage, because in a small proportion of those patients that can be due to a blood disorder that we can identify and do something about. And also women who have had blood clots during pregnancy who need treatment plans to plan for safe deliveries or other abnormal blood results during pregnancy. So it's a really good clinic, and there's definitely a need in that patient group. And in on the other side, in the laboratory, we've also started doing specialist clotting tests around these disorders. So these are to identify what we call thrombophilias. Those are things in your blood that make you more likely to clot. And then also a group of tests for people who have abnormal bleeding. So I think it's important for people to know that that those are available to them.
When you say abnormal bleeding, you're talking about which part of the body? Is that women's?
So
bits?
it can be men and women. Huh. Okay, so women might be more aware of it because they have a monthly menstrual cycle, so they might notice that their periods are heavier than what is normal.
Yeah.
But it can also be in men who might notice abnormal bruising, nose bleeding, bleeding from the gums, blood in the urine. So all of these things might be signs that there is something more going on that needs to be looked at.
So blood is kind of the tell-all sign that something could be terribly wrong, and you need to head to the hospital, the Aga Khan Hospital, and get checked if you have any of these issues. And we spoke off air, but I don't think we touched on it too much, on a hemophilia being an inability to clot, right?
Yes, so they have a deficiency of a certain clotting factor.
Right.
It's a rare disorder, but we do have patients who are affected by that.
Right, yeah. Okay. And that obviously can be also fatal.
It can be, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, I think we need to go and have a little bit of a hug session, if you don't mind. And find you at your clinic tomorrow at the Aga Khan University Hospital every Thursday. Dr. Laura Chebet-Kirui, this week's Woman Crush Wednesday, the consultant hematologist, or one of them. at Aga Khan University Hospital. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.